Hello, my name is Paul Greatrix, and this latest episode in the series, in which a notable higher education figure creates an entirely new university out of thin air, my imaginary university, features Martin Edmondson, who's CEO of AGCAS. Martin wants to bring Italian style plus work experience to a Yorkshire higher education cold spot, and has created the Politecnico di Wakefield, Poliwak for short, to fill a big gap in the rhubarb triangle. Poliwak is a strong arts and music focus, as well as dynamic work-based learning opportunities for all, leading to super employable graduates. In addition to the obvious rhubarb focus for research, wine-related developments are important, as is the investment in sports science, with the aim of enhancing the prospects of the Vice-Chancellor's beloved Bradford City Football Club. A generous benefactor has ensured that there are excellent residences on campus and outstanding shared social and learning and working spaces for all in the centre of town. Students from around the world, including Lancashire, are welcomed with a Yorkshire onboarding pack which comprises a range of essential local delicacies. Despite the inclusion of crisps within this pack, their consumption in lecture theatres is strictly forbidden, such is the VC's distinctive brand of benign direction. And finally, Martin has also chosen a popular anthem for the ages, albeit from a Londoner rather than a Yorkshire musician. I do hope you enjoy it. Okay, welcome everyone to the latest episode in the series of My Imaginary University. And this time it's my enormous pleasure to introduce Martin Edmondson. Martin is the Chief Executive of AGCAS, the Association of Graduate Careers Advisory Services, to give it its full title, but it is generally known as just AGCAS because no one can remember what it stands for, I think. But Martin has kindly agreed to create an exciting new institution out of nothing for us. I've got no real idea what he's going to tell us. So we will just simply leap straight in and say, Martin, tell us about your imaginary institution.
Thanks, Paul. Well, it's really nice to be here with you. And this was a great thing to go away and think about, to be honest, in terms of trying to get my head around what an imaginary university would be or what it might look like. And I think where I've settled on is reclaiming the idea of a polytechnic and saying, let's get these back. But let's get these back for good reasons. They went away. They kind of went out of fashion. And actually, I wonder whether there's a chance to reclaim them and reclaim some of the really good stuff in terms of the connections between industry and academia that kind of went on in them. So my imaginary university is going to be. But I was thinking, I was taking inspiration from Europe and in Milan and Torino in Italy, they have the Politecnico di Milano and the Politecnico di Torino. So I was like, let's have a Politecnico. So call it that rather than the Polytechnic. So we've got a kind of, you know, nice new name. That was my start point. So I don't know if that gets us kicked off.
Well, that is a good. So we're giving it a kind of European Italian glamour then, because I mean, I went my higher education career started working out in a polytechnic, an institution that was then called North Staffordshire Polytechnic. And I mean, I have to say I hugely enjoyed my time working there, but it's fair to say I couldn't think of anywhere further from the delights of Milan or Turin than Stoke and Stafford. But that's not to say that you couldn't reinvigorate the idea with all of that glamour. So talk us through some of the distinctive features, because it can't be just about the name and the kind of industrial connection in some way.
No, so, well, I mean, just to pick up on your Staffordshire thing as well, I know that part of the world. I studied at Keele, and so my main memories of the what became Staffordshire University was losing at football to them every time we played them. So that was my experience. But anyway, I guess, well, no. So, well, I thought the twist on it as well. So I'm a proud Yorkshireman, and I was also thinking about things like cold spots, like where would you put this university? And I thought, well, it needs to be in Yorkshire because that's where I'm from, and I'm very proud to be from there. And then I thought, well, now many of the cities in Yorkshire already have a university, but actually the biggest city in the UK that doesn't have a university is Wakefield. So actually, why not put this in Wakefield? So it becomes the Politecnico de Wakefield, which I feel like might take a bit of getting used to. Although I did notice also in Milan and Torino they shorten like Politecnico di Milano to Polimi. So I thought in this case we could have Poliwak. So this would be the Politecnico di Wakefield. But on a serious note with that, about actually bringing higher education to a place like that, I think is really important, and that's something I'm really passionate about, is anybody from any background getting the chance to go to university, and that would be deeply in the philosophy of this university. And it would be about really strong local industrial connections as well as just connecting with industry generally. And in a town like Wakefield, where, as well as it not having any higher education at the moment, also has really low participation rates in higher education. It's about 20% below the national average. So again, it feels like actually this would be a really, really good thing to do.
So it's a very, I'm taking from what you say then, you're aiming for a very inclusive institution and one that is aiming to raise aspirations but also participation in the greater Wakefield area. We'll come back to the rhubarb triangle business in a minute, because I'm sure
Yeah,
that will
definitely.
feature
It will.
one
It
of the
will.
famous things about Wakefield. But I'm assuming, therefore, that in the kind of tradition of polytechnics of old as well, you are looking for that inclusivity. So there will be a kind of strong access widening participation dimension to this.
Yeah, definitely. And a really clear connection to community. I mean, I'd want it to be a university that welcomed people from anywhere in the UK, anywhere in the world. It's not saying we'll just recruit locally, but there's a lot of resource going into attracting students from and raising the aspirations of students from that part of the world. Maybe that wider bit of West Yorkshire generally, or West and South Yorkshire, and making sure that it feels like actually this is a place for them, and also a place that is super connected to the employers and the companies that are based around there as well. So they feel like it's genuinely something for them, which in some ways I suppose have been by. I remember looking at the founding statement of the University of Sheffield, for example, which has really strong, was effectively founded by a collection of the employers in the city going, we need this for our city, for our town. So this is something we've got to do. And so they invested in that and created what is obviously a fantastic university there.
So thinking that through a bit further then, what does that mean in kind of disciplinary areas? I mean, have you got are there distinctive elements of the kind of undergraduate prospectus that you're offering? What's the kind of range of provision, or is it just it's going to be a kind of comprehensive offer?
Well, it was interesting because I was doing a bit of digging on what, obviously polytechnics generally have focused on, engineering, computing, maybe, sort of technical subjects, things that perhaps more readily connect to industry. I'd love though to still make sure there was an arts and humanities angle on it as well, though. That's my own background as well, and I feel like, perhaps with something like music, that it's sort of music and music tech and that kind of stuff. So if people being able to do that kind of thing, with like really clear industry links and connections in every course. And I think the other distinctive thing I was keen to make sure was in there was, if that's the range of provision, but also having everybody having a really major focus on people having the ability to get some kind of like work-based learning, work experience through their time at it. And I really like the co-op model from places like Northeastern University in Boston, where everybody goes out and does these super flexible 3 or 4 month co-ops in employers. And it's not, rather than kind of a year in industry like we have in the sort of traditional sandwich placement, it's much more dynamic than that, where people are almost dropping in and out of their studies over 3 or 4 years, doing occasional bits of 3 months in an employer and then coming back in and carrying on, that kind of stuff. So I'd love to see that be part of it, which is fiendishly complex to organize, but actually, I think would be really powerful.
Well, I mean, I think that I'm sure it is complicated to organise, but once you've started it and the novelty of it nationally, I think would potentially be be very attractive to lots of employers. It is something that is a bit different. I mean, I am intrigued that you're looking at arts and humanities as well, because I mean, I think there was always a strong strand of that within the polytechnic sector, is my recollection. And of course, in Wakefield, you've got the Hepworth Art Gallery as well, which is, I think, a unique national resource in terms of fine art. So you could argue that you could have something very, very distinctive aligned to the polytechnic. I can't call it polywhack, I'm sorry, but Politecnico, which would again be nationally, if not internationally, leading as well. So I can see the disciplinary opportunities there.
Yeah, no, I was thinking every student should get a free pass to the Hepworth so they could kind of go and hang out down there, and the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, which is just down the
Of
road as well.
course,
So
of course.
lots of art on the doorstep, and I mean, I did wonder about whether whacking the campus in the middle of the Yorkshire Sculpture Park might be quite a nice thing, but I don't know how they'd feel about that.
Well, there used to be a teacher training college in the middle of the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, and I can't remember.
Is that
I can't.
Bretton Hall or is that
That's it.
Akenham? So
So.
perhaps it's reclaiming that as well. That could at least be one of the campuses. Have one in the city centre and one out in the sculpture park.
I think you would find a lot of support for that, at least among certain parts of the community, for sure. A lot of people bemoaning the loss of Bretton Hall. Those were different days. Okay, so you've got a kind of broad-based but very work-oriented undergraduate curriculum. Are you doing interesting research as well? Is a kind of industry-focused work that's going on there?
Yeah, I had a few thoughts on the research angles, and I mean, it was interesting you mentioned the rhubarb triangle. So I feel there should be a strong rhubarb research department of some kind. I think that would be important. And then I quite like a glass of wine. So I was thinking, with global warming gradually pushing winemaking further north, like you now get quite good fizz from like Kent and Dorset. Probably it's only a few years' time before Yorkshire is probably, the winemaking heart of the world. So I think what we need to do is then have a pretty strong winemaking and wine research sort of centre in amongst the course, I think. So that would be one. And then I did wonder as well about whether there could be a strong sports science research department, and in particular, I have a season ticket at Bradford City, and they're really poor. So if some element of the research budget could go on improving their fortunes, I would appreciate that as well. Just down the road.
I've always been interested in football university tie-ins, but the idea of dedicating a sports science department to improving the fortunes, specifically of one football team that the vice chancellor was interested in, seems a bit ropey to me. But why not? Indeed, they have had better times in the past. I'm sure they will come again. But if you can help them on that journey, then I think that's certainly
Well,
a good idea, Martin.
there's a lot of I find more and more now as well. You're looking on Match of the Day and whatever, and the university on the sponsors or the sponsorship. It's pretty strong now. And in fact, the University of Bradford actually is now na has the naming rights for Bradford City Stadium actually now. So
Oh,
there you go.
well. But I mean, maybe you should focus on the even worse team in Bradford Park Avenue, who, of course, 50 years ago were in the old First Division, but sadly now are labouring, I think, in somewhere in the kind of seventh or eighth tier of English football. But they
Yeah, I think
certainly need a helping hand.
they do. There's still an annual game between Bradford City and Bradford Park Avenue, just to, I think, to sort of keep the tradition alive, but it's not what it used to be.
So there are plenty of sporting options there, I'm sure. So, well, thinking then about the the kind of leadership team that this university, sorry, this Politecnico would have, assuming that not everyone is seduced by the products of the research that's going on in the wine department. What would your approach, assuming that you would appoint yourself as vice chancellor of this august institution, what would your leadership style and approach be, Martin?
I think it would be about a few things. I think I don't. I would love to have a crack at being a vice chancellor, I suppose, in this kind of situation, particularly this proud new institution. I did wonder as well, by the way, about. I've just noticed that there's now the University of Lancashire, and I did wonder about whether the other name should be the University of Yorkshire, but I wasn't quite brave enough to claim that one. But the I think in terms of leadership, I don't know, sort of benevolent dictator type approach, that kind of thing. Obviously, having already steered the sports science department to fix my football team, and the winemaking department to keep me in a good steady stream of that. But I think in more broad terms, I'd want to. I think the key thing for me would be about the hiring of people into the university. In the job, and it would be about being really honest about what we are as an institution. And I think one of the things that perhaps frustrates me about universities is where they aren't honest about what they are, or they try to be all things to all people rather than actually going, do you know what, we're going to be really, really brilliant at this thing, and you know, whatever that is. So I'd want, you know, to really attract people to come and work there who are like, I actually, you know, I'm a whether I'm an academic or I'm someone in a careers team or I'm whatever, I'm coming here because actually I really like this idea of a university that's super connected to its place and also is really wanting to make sure that every single course has that relationship with industry, is super well connected, and sort of brings all of that together and buys into that as a way of doing things and sees, you know, the development of, you know, super employable students and graduates out at the end of it as like a really great goal as an organization. So I'd want to go and hire people who really bought into that. I think that would be my main priority, to be honest. As along apart from, you know, the football and the wine.
Excellent. Well, no, I think that's a really worthwhile ambition. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, right? But actually, although I was about to say that, so would I infer from all of this that as far as university league tables go, you're not really going to be that bothered with them. But there is a sense in which you from what you say, I guess that you expect your graduates to be the most employable in the land. Is that right? Is that a fair
That
assumption?
would definitely be on the list of aspirations, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, like, I you know, every university is now, well, certainly in England, with the kind of way things are, the environment we have here at the moment, where about, I don't know, a third of the metrics on a university are basically employability metrics. Actually, you can really make a big difference by focusing on that. And I think a lot of universities really are doing that. I look at somewhere like Aston, for example, who, you know, have got a really high proportion of their students doing placements, and they punch really high above their weight in terms of their graduate outcomes versus the, if you like, the tariff intake. I think that's something to aspire for. So I think I'd want Poliwac to be very very focused on you know, how it develops, you know, really clear set of like attributes, graduate attributes in its students through all of its courses, has those co-ops and regular work-based learning. And so actually people really do emerge super ready to go for whatever they want to do into the future. And actually that would give us a real boost in the league tables, as well as our, and the cutting edge rhubarb research would hopefully help on the ref as well. But primarily, yeah, it would be a focus on, you know, just delivering really brilliant graduate destinations for people.
No, I absolutely get that. Going back to then what students can expect, beyond all this kind of work experience and the very rhubarb focused catering offer. Do you think that there are other elements of the student experience which polywork offers which would be novel and interesting to students or prospective students?
I was thinking one of the things it could have would be like a Yorkshire onboarding pack. So, to help, particularly for those who aren't from the area, to acclimatize. So, in your hall of residence, and I'd want everyone to be in hall. Actually, that would be a point as well. I think that's a really powerful part of the university experience, to come and stay and live and all of that kind of thing. I'd like to have an imaginary, extremely wealthy benefactor who could fund very low cost but high quality student housing for everybody. So that would be nice. But in there, in the excellent student accommodation, you would get, a big box of Yorkshire tea, a big bottle of Henderson's Relish, for the people who know what Henderson's Relish is, a box of Seabrook's crisps from Bradford. Obviously, that they've already got the pass for the Hepworth and the Yorkshire Sculpture Park. So I think that would be a key thing to me, and then people would very quickly acclimatize to, the local important stuff. All of those things, and be well nourished by crisps and tea, a healthy diet and all that.
Very, very Yorkshire, indeed, and presumably, you're giving them, everyone's got to get a Bradford City strip with your sponsorship logo on it, and regular tickets to those matches as
That
well.
would be an excellent idea as well, and obviously for those who don't know, the distinctive claret and amber stripes of Bradford City's kit, which would also form the graduation gown sort of colourways. So yeah.
I'm glad you've thought this kind of level of detail through, Martin. Other distinctive features of the institution that we've not talked about yet. But, I mean, once we've got onto the colours of graduation dress, I think we're into a level of detail I hadn't really expected to get to. But other things that I've skipped over, which are important features of the Politecnico.
I think, really good sports facilities, really good, sort of central city centre venue for like music and theatre and lots of that kind of stuff. So it becomes a place where students get to experience a lot of that stuff. And that's something I really valued from my time at university, was getting to play sport, do music stuff, listen, see bands, see kind of really good stuff come there. So hopefully as well, the other thing I'd really like is that the city centre central base would have the ground floor of it would be basically a big old co-working space that's belongs to the city. So anyone who, freelancers, people who run small businesses, whatever, it becomes like the hub for any of them to go and work and just hang out for the day or whatever, some decent coffee. And actually, it starts to be a place where that you break down the walls between the university and the place it's in, and it feels like a place where that connects, but also where, again, you create like perhaps a bit more serendipitous like meetings between students and business people and employers, just happening by chance because they're all kind of hanging out in the same space on a regular basis. So that would definitely be something I'd like to see.
And given the generosity of your benefactor, who's already built the campus and the accommodation, I mean that kind of thing shouldn't be a stretch at all. But you would want them to really invest in a high quality facility that's doing all those things for the public as well as the university and its students.
Yeah, definitely. And I was thinking as well. So I was reading about how famous people from Wakefield, and one of them is John Radcliffe, after whom the library in Oxford is named, and all of that. And I was thinking, actually, it's about time that was reclaimed. But obviously, Oxford, obviously, the Radcliffe Library is obviously a very, that's a very Oxford thing. So, but I was reading about John Radcliffe, and apparently he if ever he was out drinking, he had to be literally dragged away. Because he was a very kind of convivial kind of guy, So I think it would only be right to name the bar after John Radcliffe. So it'd be the John Radcliffe bar, and reclaiming him as a Wakefielder person, in and with that higher education tradition in the mix as well. So I think that would be attached to the big old co-working space as well.
And presumably, you'd be able, if you had some good lawyers on board, to make a claim for all the money that he invested erroneously in Oxford over the years.
Exactly, that would need to be diverted sooner rather than later, I think. Oxford's got plenty of cash, so it'll be fine.
I'm sure they'd be very willing to share. We are a very giving sector, after all. Okay, so we've talked a lot about all the things that you're encouraging and supporting and providing, but are there things that you're not allowing in the polywag? Are there things that students are banned from doing or staff aren't allowed to do?
Well, I the only thing I was thinking about this, and I just have a personal phobia, like dislike of people eating crisps in lectures. So I think that would be the thing I would ban.
You are a benign dictator, but if you issue large numbers of packets of Seabrook's crisps to your students, they're going to eat them in the lecture theatres,
I
aren't they?
realize there is a very fatal flaw between the onboarding pack and my wish for them to not eat them in lectures. Yeah, it's but then that's again one of the whims of a dictator, right, is that you kind of can have these kind of contradictions and live with them.
When you started talking down the onboarding pack and the program, I was thinking that there might be kind of orientation sessions in terms of language. I mean, particularly for those from outside Yorkshire who are not familiar with local dialect. Would that be perhaps a step too far, or do you think it might be quite handy for those trying to navigate the particularities of Wakefield and its
Well,
environs?
yeah, it might be helpful, and particularly for people wondering why everyone's calling them love and all that kind of stuff. But the I don't know. I was just thinking, going back to your ban point, and what we might learn locally. My only other thought on a ban was whether we should ban Lancastrians, but the which we you know would be the obvious thing. But actually, I was going to suggest that, and then I thought, no, we're starting to heal from the War of the Roses, and it's perhaps time that we reach out. So I felt like we should let them in.
It's only been what 500 years or so, so yeah, it's yeah. So things are starting to thaw. Yeah, okay.
I
So,
think we're entering a more positive era on that front. So yeah.
it's a very generous, very generous and inclusive step.
I like to think so, yeah.
So, a final and indeed critical question, then, Martin, is that every university or Politecnico needs a theme song, needs a tune. What will you be playing at graduation ceremonies and the like?
So I'm a big music fan, and this was a tough question, and I had to give some thought to this. I thought, well, it should probably be music from Wakefield for the Polywhack anthem, and then I was looking up musicians from Wakefield, and to be honest, that all the more reason we need a good music department in this Politecnico, because the music offer from Wakefield, if I'm honest, has not been great. The most famous band I could work out were the Cribs, who are kind of one of those indie bands that I know of but don't know of, and then Jane McDonald, who I think sings on cruise ships, which again, is perhaps not the kind of cutting edge music you want. So I thought I'd reach for one of my favorite musicians, who's a guy called Jacob Collier, who is this kind of prodigious, very much not from Wakefield, he's from North London, but a guy who's written a huge amount of amazing music, for someone who's still only about 28 or something. And he has a song called Box of Stars, which is like contains bits of lyrics that are in like 30 different languages, but it also has all these different musical genres flying around. in it. And I thought actually also Box of Stars, that's quite a nice idea as a kind of concept in terms of saying our students are stars, our staff are stars. We are a big old box of stars. So I thought I'd go with Box of Stars. That will be the anthem.
Fantastic. Well, it's a terrific way to encapsulate the novelty that is the Politecnico di Wakefield, which I'm sure will enter the lexicon as Polywhack and be incredibly attractive to students from all over the world and Lancashire for many years to come. Martin, we need to stop it there, but thank you so much for creating such a novel institution. It's been absolutely terrific learning about it, and I'm sure it will go from strength to strength.
No, thanks very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I do hope you enjoyed that episode of My Imaginary University. There'll be more along before you know it. In the meantime, you might want to listen to the sister podcast, University Registrars Talking About Stuff, in which I chat to university leaders and registrars and others like that, all about their experiences of higher education. Just Google it. Also, you may want to visit my website, wonderfulhighered.com, where you can find lots of entertaining stuff all about the strange, wonderful and frightening world of higher education. Anyway, until the next time, thank you for listening.